Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
It is a great time to have Word of God. I thank Pastor Sammy and I thank Cornerstone Community Church for this privilege. God saved us and God saved you in Jesus Christ. But we must have holiness in our life. As a Christians, we love to live holy life. Because of our sinful nature, you do sin. That time we have to confess our sins. This sermon will teach you that to have broken heart when you do sin. God delights in broken sinner, not in a prideful righteous man. All men do sin, but God's children do confess, they repent. That is the difference between God's children and other people. If you don't know how to repent in God-centered way, this sermon will help to teach you that a model God-centered brokenness. Really, we have to have this kind of attitude, brokenness in our heart, because we often do sin our life, even though we are Christians. We are looking Psalm 51. Psalm 51, several well-known individuals turned to Psalm 51 at time of their death. Lady Jane Grey delivered, and her husband delivered when they were on scaffold as martyrs during the reigns of Henry VIII. And William Carey requested it be the text of the sermon at his funeral. This is a great psalm we should study. Open your Bible, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51. I am reading a psalm of David. When Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Verse 11. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me a joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyful sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. Verse 16. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifice, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. When we read this psalm, 1-9, we can say that a model God-centered brokenness. The theme of this psalm is a model God-centered brokenness. Look at verse 1 says. One says, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. When David has sinned against Bathsheba, that time Nathan came and rebuked, showed his sin. That time David wrote this song. Verse 1, he said, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. He said, verse 3, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Verse 5, he said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. When we see verse 14, he said, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of salvation. The based on these verses, when we read this psalm, we can say that a model, the God-centered brokenness. If you want to have brokenness in your heart, when you do sin, this is a model. That David has model to have brokenness. Five humble attitudes of a broken sinner. Five humble attitudes of a broken sinner. First humble attitude of a broken sinner is calling on God as a broken sinner. Calling on God, crying on God as a broken sinner. We can see verse 1, 2, 3. Look at, be gracious to me, O God. He is calling God. Then he said, verse 2, wash me truly from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3, he said, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. So he is a sinner. He understood. So he is calling God as a broken sinner. Three things that he acknowledges to call on God. Three things that he acknowledges to call on God. First thing that he acknowledges to call on God is he acknowledges who God is. Before he calls God, he acknowledges who God is. Three characteristics we can see, verse 1. Three characteristics of God that he acknowledges. First characteristics of God is he is gracious. He is gracious. Look at verse 1 says, 1b, part B says, be gracious to me, O God. Here psalmist is calling on God to be gracious to him. He knows that God is gracious. Brothers and sisters, compassion and forgiveness both are based on reality of grace of God. What is the meaning of gracious? To show favor to the unworthy man. Freely giving without paying any price. I am not deserved to be forgiven, but forgive me. That is the meaning of be gracious to me. He is saying that be gracious to me. We can understand what? Lord, I am not deserved. See, I am not asking your grace because I am worthy person. I am asking you because I am unworthy person. So please be gracious to me. Please forgive me. Second characteristics of God that he acknowledges to call on God is he is loving. He is loving God. Look at verse 1b. 1b. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. The psalmist, David, he acknowledged what God is loving. He can show loving kindness. Loving kindness is with him alone. Loving kindness only with God himself has. God delights in loving kindness. God shows his loving kindness to his people in redemption from enemies and troubles. Men should trust in God's loving kindness. Brothers and sisters, the men should have joy in it and have hope in it. Psalm chapter 33, Psalm 33 verse 18 says, behold, The eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness. See, those who have hope in loving kindness of God, on them, on those, God has eyes on them. He observes them. Loving kindness is in preservation of life from death, in boosting of spiritual life. We know these are all things. Without loving kindness, God's loving kindness, we cannot live holy life. Especially, his loving kindness is in redemption from sin. Especially here, David is asking his loving kindness, begging God to remove, to redeem him from his sin. Psalm 25, verse 7 says, "Do not remember the sins of my youth, my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." Here David hoped in God's loving kindness. He delights in God's loving kindness because God's loving kindness redeems one person from his sin. He is calling God as a loving God who can forgive and redeem him from his sins. He trusted God's loving kindness because Numbers chapter 14 verse 18 says, "The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness." The God has abundant loving kindness. So we can call him when we need his love. Brothers and sisters, God is so loving. If you know this truth, you will call him. Third characteristics of God is he is compassionate to call on God. He is compassionate. Not only is gracious and loving, but also he is compassionate. Look at verse 1b. "Gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion." This root refers to deep love, usually a superior for an inferior. This is a deep feeling. In deep inward feeling, we know variously as compassion, pity or mercy. This is a motherly feeling. How mother shows mercy on her child. Do you know, all mothers in this hall, they know how to show compassion on their children. The same picture David is using here. Be compassion on me as a mother. We know that Isaiah chapter 49 verse 15 says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you." God has compassion how mother has on his child. Brothers and sisters, this is a picture of mother's compassion on her child. Here David knows that God will never forget him. Even though mother may forget, God never forget us. For example, women who sold out their children boil them for food during the siege by Babylonians. Lamentation chapter 4 verse 10 says, "The hands of compassionate women boiled their own children. They became food for them." Sometimes mother will fail, but God never fails to show compassion on his people. So David is asking, calling God, "You are compassionate God. How my mother treat me, how my mother show compassion on me like you treat me, Lord." But this is great compassion. He said, look at that verse. "According to the greatness of your compassion." The God's greatness, God's compassion is great than anyone else. Brothers and sisters, as a broken sinner, you must know God's character when you do sin. If you do sin, You must know that. You must acknowledge that God is gracious, who can give grace. God is loving, he can show love. God is compassionate God. Definitely, he will show compassion on me. If mother may forget, mother may not forgive you, but see, God can forgive your sins. You can call him when you sin because of his goodness. You will run to God when you are truly born again. When you really have broken heart in yourself, definitely you will run to him. Because David, who has broken heart, he run to God and call on God for the forgiveness. You should meditate on God's loving kindness when you do sin. Brothers and sisters, I will encourage you, whenever you do sin, that time you should remember, God can forgive me because he is gracious, he is loving, he is compassionate. If he forgives David, he will forgive you. There is no partiality in God. Second thing that he acknowledges to call on God is, he acknowledges who he is. He acknowledges who he is. Look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Verse 3 said, for I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Here psalmist uses three different words to emphasize the complex character and degree of his sin. Whatever one want to call, whether it is transgression, whether it is iniquity or sin, he has done it and stands morally polluted in God's sight. So he is confessing himself who he is. He acknowledged himself who he is. Three characteristics of broken man. What he understood about himself. The first characteristics of broken man is, he is rebellious. Look at verse 3 says, for I know my transgressions. Meaning of this word transgressions is casting off of loyalty, a rebellion against rulers. That is the exact meaning. But in religious sense, rebelling against divine king. The acts of transgression going beyond the limits of God's law. Love for independence from God. It is okay to have independence from British rulers. But it is not okay to have independence from God. If you want independence, that is the transgression. Those are transgressors who were guilty against the authority and covenant of their God. Brothers and sisters, rejecting their king is transgression. Prominently, it is rebellion against God's law and covenant. It is an active persecution of God's people also. We can see that. And he says that, I know my transgression. Here David is confessing that he is the one who is going beyond limits of God's law, who is casting off loyalty against his king. He has persecuted God's man and killed Uriah. So, he confessing that he is rebellious. I know my transgression. Second, who is he? The second characteristics of broken man is, he is a wrongdoer. Verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. See the word iniquity meaning is perversion and guilt. Wrongdoing. It is like an activity that is crooked or wrong. Activity that are wrong. When we do activity that is wrong, that is called iniquity. So again he said, second characteristics of a broken man is, third characteristics of broken man is, he is a sinner. He said, I am rebellious. He said, wrongdoer. Then he said, I am a sinner. He is a sinner. Look at verse 3 says, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. The meaning of sin is missing the mark or way, failing short of God's holiness. Here David is saying that he failed to observe the requirements of holy living, fall short of spiritual holiness. He is being less than acceptable to the God. He failed to observe God's law. He missed his way from God. That is the meaning of sin. Look, he said that, verse 3, my sin is ever before me. That means my sin is in front of me continually. Continually I am seeing my sin. Here David, the natural consequence of sin are often permanent. Many times effects are exhibited in one's own family. If one person sins, that will affect his family also. So David is clearly understand, he is saying that my sin is ever before me. I am seeing my sins again and again. He is accepting that. He acknowledged that he is a sinner. That is the main idea before we call to God. Brothers and sisters, do you know you are rebellious, rejecting God, your king? You are wrongdoer and sinner. You missed many times. You fall short from God's standard many times. As Romans chapter 3 verse 23 said, we know that verse, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody, he became sinners. The truth David accepted. He's saying, he calling himself, I am a sinner. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 13 says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Don't hide your sins to God. But sometimes you should silent be with people. If you say your sins to them, they will spread everybody in this hall. We need to be careful. But don't hide your sins to God. That is the idea here. But some people tell their sins to everybody, they won't confess with God. That is too much. That is wrong. We have to confess to the Lord. But we can confess some faithful people, beloved people, who can trust, in whom we can trust. That person will not share anybody else. He can help me to overcome this sin. But main idea is we have to confess to the God. We have to accept that we are sinners. Third thing that he acknowledged to call on God is, he acknowledged what he needs. He acknowledged to what he needs. Look at verse 1b. Verse 1. According to your loving kindness, according to greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgression. Said verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The psalmist compares forgiveness and restoration to physical cleansing. The same three words appear in Exodus chapter 34 verse 7, which emphasizes that God is willing to forgive sins, all of its many dimensions. Exodus chapter 34 verse 7 says, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Who forgives transgressions, iniquity, sin. David knows the God is going to forgive him. He can forgive in all dimensions of his sin. The first thing he need is blotting his rebellious. Look at verse 1. According to your loving kindness, according to greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Blot out is a metaphor, brothers and sisters. Listen. It is a metaphor erasing and removing writing from a book. Psalmist is comparing forgiveness to erasing or blotting out all record of his rebellious acts. There shall not be any remembrance of them forever. He is begging God, what? Lord, don't remember me anymore my sins. Forever. Remove of my records of rebellious acts. He is calling God because he knows that God punishes rebellions. David is crying to God to erase all his records of his rebellion acts, rejecting God as his king, to kill Uriah and to have relationship with Bathsheba. These all things are rebellion against God. He knows that God is gracious. According to his loving kindness, he is compassionate. So he is crying to God to wipe all his records of rebellion acts, because God can do alone this. God's deep desire, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. God's desire is really to provide salvation from this sin. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 12 says, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great. He will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. God gave opportunity to turn from this sin through the suffering Christ. Suffering servant, that is Lord Jesus Christ. See, he promised. Whoever done sin, God promised in Isaiah chapter 53, Jesus is going to bear those sins, those who turn to him. Brothers and sisters, please have peace with God. Otherwise, he deals you with punishment. To have peace with God, you should run to Jesus Christ, who will take away your all records, rebellious records. The second thing that he needs is washing his iniquities. Look at verse 2 says, wash me truly from my iniquity. Wash is a metaphor of that ancient near laundry man who soaked, soaped, beat, wrung out, and rinsed clothing to get it clean. You understand? The laundry man, what he do to clean the clothes? He will soak, and he will soap, and he will beat, and rug. Then finally, he will clean the dirty. See here, David using metaphor. If he is living in this area, in this time, he can say like this. He would say like this. Please wash me in washing machine. That is the idea. Because there is no washing machine in those times. Laundry man was there. He is comparing. He is metaphoring that. Please wash me like laundry man. Oh God, you are a laundry man who wash my iniquities. But we can say like that. We cannot say this is the model. But we can say, Lord, wash me in washing machine. Because I am sinner, I have iniquities in ourselves. Third thing he needs, cleansing his sin. Look at verse 2 says, wash me truly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. The metaphor is used purification in order to approach the altar or participate in the worship at tabernacle. If someone wants to go to the tabernacle to worship God, he must purify himself. This is a physical purification. The David is using this. David is talking about ceremonial purity. But ultimately, brothers and sisters, he needs ethical cleansing or moral purity. Actually, all ritual purity was intended to teach God's holiness, moral purity. It was showing that man should have moral purity to have relationship with God. Man must have moral character to worship God. He must cleanse from himself. That's why he is requesting to God to cleanse him from his sin. He's talking about moral life, because true purity cannot be achieved by any man on his own. It will come by God. So he is begging God, crying to God, calling on God, please cleanse my sin. Cleanse my sin. Jeremiah chapter 33 verse 8 says, God said, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me, by which they have transgressed against me. So he is requesting God. Verse 2, he requested God. Verse 7, he requested God. Verse 10 also, he asked purity. He asked God to cleanse himself. God, he desires that his people confess their sins. Because Numbers chapter 14 verse 18 says, Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. God is ready to forgive, so we need to call on God. So God, David called God. He depended on God alone, not himself. Brothers and sisters, if God desires that we should confess our sins, we have to confess. 1 John chapter 1 verse 19:9 says, if he confesses our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So David went to God to have forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, God is faithful, righteous to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness if you confess. If you have broken heart, if you have done anything wrong, that time when you go to God, he will give forgiveness. Your worship will be vain if you don't wash yourself, your clothes. If you don't have purity, if you don't have moral character, your worship will be vain. The forgiveness, getting forgiveness is very important than getting building and cars and possessions. Those are all things. This is the great thing. See, you know, David has everything. You know better than me. He was a king, but he is asking forgiveness from God. We have to understand. Did you pray like this in your life? Second humble attitude of a broken sinner is sorrowing as a broken sinner. Calling on God, that is first attitude. Second attitude of broken sinner is sorrowing as a broken sinner. Look at verse 4 says, against you, you alone I have sinned against, done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquities, and in sin my mother conceived me. Two things that he is sorrowful over. Two things he is sorrowful over. The first thing that he is sorrowful over is over his sinful acts. Over his sinful acts. Verse 4. Against you alone, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So he is lamenting. He is crying, against you, Lord, you alone, I have done sin against you. Sin, by definition, by nature, is anti to God. When the wickedness and sin is committed against someone else, that act is rebellious against God's command. Leviticus chapter 5 verse 21 says, it is a guilt offering. He was certainly guilty before the Lord. Psalm 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 13 says, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, Lord also has taken away your sin. You shall not die. What we are understanding, that David confessed that he sinned against the Lord himself. The psalmist had sinned exclusively against God and no other. He missed the standards of God's moral law. David certainly sinned when he has sexual relationship with Bathsheba and when murdered Uriah. The attack on Uriah was ultimately the attack of God. Taking Uriah's wife is ultimately he sinned against by disobeying God's law. When man does sin, brothers and sisters, he is sinning against God alone. God alone. Yes, David sinned against God, Uriah, and Bathsheba, but ultimately it is against God because David is confessing. David is confessing. Look at verse 4, remaining part. What he said, so that and done what is evil in your sight. He has done evil in your God's sight. To commit evil in the court of king, that is the idea. David felt that his sin was committed in all its filthiness while God himself looked on. God is present when we do sin. The meaning of this verse is David is saying clearly, Lord, I have done sin in front of you, in your presence, in your sight. You have seen my sins. Some people think that Christians normally think that, rebellious people think that I have done sin, nobody has seen. But whenever a man does sin, he is sinning in front of Lord, in front of eyes of God. That is the idea. So he said, verse 4, remaining part, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. You are justified, Lord, because I have done sin against you in front of you. That is the idea. The psalmist purposefully sinned so that God's justice might be right when God's word of condemnation is just right. What is the condemnation of God's word? God delivered to David through Nathan. See 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 7. Nathan then said to David, you are the man that says the Lord of God Israel. It is I who anointed you king over Israel. Verse 8 says, I also gave you your master's house, your master's wives into care, and I gave you the house of Israel. He said, verse 9, why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah, the Hittite, with the sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, have killed him with the sword of the sons of Ammon. Then he said, now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, have taken the wife of Uriah, Hittite, to be your wife. Verse 11, thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against you from your own household. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel under the sun. See, God delivered his judgment, his judgment to the David. That is this judgment. God is going to punish David's household. He is going to do it publicly. So he knows this truth, but he is telling what? What he is telling? Verse 4. You are justified when you speak. You are blameless when you judge. He is accepting that whatever God speaks, whatever the judgments of the Lord, he is just right because he is right. When he judges, he is blameless. Nobody will blame Lord. Let me tell you an example. You are going on the road. One policeman is there. You throw one stone on him when he is looking on you. What will happen? What will happen? He will arrest. He will take you into custody, and the judge will give some punishment to you because you have done against that police when he is looking. If it is just, see, this David sinned against God, and when he is looking on him, in front of him. So God is going to judge. This is just right. That is the idea. So that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Brothers and sisters, see brokenness of a sinner. He is accepting that God is just when he speaks and blameless when he judges. We know, brothers and sisters, nobody will blame God in his judgment in final days. The second thing that he is sorrowful over is over his sinful nature. Not only over sinful acts, but also over his sinful nature. Look at verse 5, says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin my mother conceived me." The psalmist frankly acknowledges his inherited sinfulness. The psalmist is relating his sinfulness to very conception of life, even to the very hour of conception. He is certainly not concerned here with confession of his mother's sin. The psalmist is not suggesting that he was conceived through an inappropriate sexual relationship. The psalmist's point is that he has been a sinner from the very moment his personal existence began. She is a relevant only as an agent who initiated his life. Why he became sinner from his conception? In whom? Because we know Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as though one man sin entered into the world." Through Adam, sin entered to the world. Verse 18 of chapter 5. "So then, as though one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men." Verse 19, he said, "For as though one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Because of Adam's rebellious sin, because of Adam's sin, we are all became sinners. That is the idea of here. David is sorrowful over his sinful nature. He is not able to. Augustine said this. He is not able not to sin. The man is not able not to sin. Man did not become sinner because he sins. He sins because he is a sinner. Did you understand? He is a sinner, so he sins. That is our nature, the sinful nature. Psalm verse 6, he said, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom." Hidden part means secret place. Secret place, wisdom you cause me to know. To indicate God's desire. God wants us to possess wisdom. Here, wisdom does not mean intelligence and learning, but refers to moral insight and skill. We learned last Sunday. James chapter 1 verse 5 said, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." That is the moral insight. That is the moral life. God wants us to have moral life. That is David is explaining here. Brothers and sisters, are you sorrowful over your sinful acts? Are you sorrowful over your sinful nature? You have to sorrow. In Psalm chapter 6, verse 6 said, David says, "I am weary with my sinning. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears." He is sorrowful over his sinful acts. God may help us to have God-centered brokenness. We will see all scripture next Sunday. Remaining parts of this psalm we will see next Sunday. Let us pray. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your love. Lord, you are a gracious God, loving God, and compassionate God. Lord, you saved us not according to our goodness, greatness, by your grace, grace alone. Lord, help us to confess our sins every day in our life, to have a relationship with you. Jesus' name I pray. Amen.